When was the last time you found yourself trapped in the same frustrating argument, feeling powerless despite your rage? This emotional pattern is what Harriet Lerner calls the dance of anger, a choreographed sequence where we play our assigned roles perfectly, yet nothing ever changes. Since 1985, this groundbreaking work has helped millions transform their relationships by revealing anger's true purpose. Not as something to suppress or unleash, but as a signal pointing to deeper patterns in our relationships. What makes this insight so revolutionary is that it shifts our focus from managing anger to understanding what it's telling us. Anger alerts us when our rights are violated, our needs unmet, or our integrity compromised. It's information worth listening to. Yet for women especially, expressing anger remains fraught with danger. Society expects women to be nurturers and peacemakers, condemning those who show anger as shrewds or bitches, while no equivalent terms exist for angry men. These powerful taboos leave many women struggling even to recognize their own anger, much less use it constructively for change. Women typically handle anger in two counterproductive ways, the nice lady syndrome or the bitch category. The nice lady avoids conflict, suppressing anger in favor of harmony. She loses touch with her own feelings while constantly monitoring others' reactions. This suppression leads to eventual outbursts that seem to validate fears about anger being irrational, while core issues remain unresolved. When we deny our anger, we trap our creative and emotional energy. The bitch pattern involves expressing anger openly but ineffectively. This usually manifests as unfocused complaining that draws criticism rather than understanding, deepening resentment while real problems go unaddressed. The solution isn't quick fixes, but developing skills to articulate our positions clearly and use anger constructively to change patterns rather than blame others. Consider Barbara, who canceled her registration for an anger workshop because her husband put his foot down, objecting to both the expense and the radical workshop leader. Despite fighting until she was blue in the face, she ultimately gave in, left with only a headache and tears. What's happening here isn't simply about a workshop. It's about an invisible rule governing their relationship. Her husband makes the rules. Barbara fights, but ineffectively, battling without challenging this fundamental power dynamic. Rather than ineffective blaming, Barbara needs assertive claiming, clarifying her priorities and taking action. This workshop is important to me. I plan to go. However, such self-assertion would inevitably trigger countermoves as her husband feels threatened by her new independence. These predictable reactions, whether severe, threatening to leave, or mild, becoming grouchy, attempt to reinstate familiar patterns. This dance happens because successful relationships require balancing individualism, I, with togetherness, we. Without enough I, we sacrifice our identity and boundaries. Without enough we, couples experience emotional disconnection. What prevents clarity isn't masochism, but fear. We worry that becoming clearer, stronger, and more separate might threaten our relationships, leading to abandonment or retaliation. Sandra and Larry's dynamic illustrates a common pattern. She seeks emotional connection while he withdraws. These opposing traits initially attracted them, his steadiness, her expressiveness, but evolved into a toxic cycle. She expressed emotions for both while he grew more distant, creating an endless loop of pursuit and withdrawal. This pursuer-distancer pattern typically features women seeking closeness to reduce anxiety, while men withdraw for the same reason. The cycle broke when Sandra changed course. Instead of criticizing Larry's late work hours, she acknowledged her part. "I feel I owe you an apology. I've been wanting you to provide something I need to provide for myself." She began pursuing her own interests independently. Surprisingly, Larry, who had craved space, became uncomfortable with her newfound independence and began pursuing her instead. By changing her role, Sandra transformed their entire dynamic. When Maggie's mother visited after Amy's birth, tensions arose over parenting methods. Maggie tried countering her mother's traditional approaches with expert opinions, but this only made her mother more defensive. The core issue wasn't about proving who was right, it was about Maggie needing to establish her own parenting boundaries. The turning point came when Maggie's mother removed Amy from her crib during nap time. Instead of arguing, Maggie calmly returned Amy to her crib and invited her mother to talk. She firmly but respectfully stated that while she valued her mother's input, she needed to parent her own way. This new dynamic initially frightened both of them. Her mother feared losing connection, while Maggie questioned her assertiveness. Rather than letting the confrontation end there, Maggie worked to maintain emotional closeness while holding firm boundaries. By engaging her mother in meaningful conversations about her own parenting experiences, she gradually built a more mature mother-daughter relationship. Using anger effectively means letting go of blame while taking clear positions. When Ruth's husband neglected a serious leg problem, her lecturing proved counterproductive. The breakthrough came when she stopped criticizing and instead shared her personal fears about losing him, like she'd lost her father at 12. By expressing her own feelings rather than criticizing, she found strength. Lisa faced housework inequity with her husband Rich by clearly stating her frustration. However, she continued overfunctioning until she finally matched her actions to her words, creating a specific plan of tasks she would and wouldn't do. Women often overfunction by assuming responsibility for others' problems. Unresolved emotions in one relationship frequently emerge as anger in another, creating triangles. When Judy confronts Victor about coming home late, she deflects her own needs by focusing on the children's disappointment. Similarly, when Billy avoids homework, his father's harsh response leads to mother's intervention, creating a triangle where Billy retreats while his parents argue. Miss Kessler learned that stepping back from mediating her husband and son's relationship allowed more authentic connections to develop. Defining yourself is a solitary task that only you can undertake, yet it paradoxically requires connection with others and the insights relationships provide. This tension is central to women's journey toward authenticity, the need to stand in our truth while staying connected to our communities. Self-help can overly focus on personal problems while neglecting the social conditions behind them. When women blame themselves for failing to achieve work-life balance, they often miss how workplace policies and cultural expectations create impossible demands. As the feminist saying goes, the personal is political. Our relationship patterns reflect broader social dynamics. The habit of prioritizing others' needs while neglecting our own mirrors societal expectations of female sacrifice. Women are pioneers in personal and social change, working without established models. Our task is to channel anger into change while preserving valuable aspects of female tradition. This means maintaining empathy and connection while developing boundaries and self-advocacy. Through both inner work and outer change, we can create new paradigms for individual and collective growth.